And welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Greer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, we have the pleasure of talking with Ramon Meres, Commissioner on the Human Rights Commission, board member of Restorative Resources, and a community organizer, and so much more. Welcome, Ramon.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you.
So we met Ramon earlier this summer at a party where the person whose birthday it was is a common friend. And when I started talking to Ramon, we connected right away because we both work for Restorative Resources, which,
that's right,
which is you're on the board and I'm a volunteer, and we both believe in restorative justice. And so we started talking, and I invited you on the show, you and your partner. And he's not here, but maybe we can talk a little bit about him, too, and your lives together. So we're going to get to know you a little bit more.
So stay tuned, because there's a lot more behind Ramon that I didn't even mention. And we're going to learn about how he navigates his world with his partner, Tara. But first, here's news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, November 1st, 2015. ARA News reports that Islamic State militants in Syria executed two more Syrian men on Tuesday by throwing them off the rooftop of a hospital, charging them with committing buggery. The two men were allegedly a gay couple. The brutal execution took place in front of a crowd of people in central Deir ez-Zor. The Islamic State often accuses people of being gay only on the basis of some superficial information without any investigation, civil rights activist Raed Ahmed told ARA News. He said the Islamic State law bans homosexuality, but the brutal punishment has never been witnessed throughout history. The extremist group has executed dozens upon dozens of gay men in areas of Syria and Iraq that it controls, often by throwing them from tall buildings as crowds watch from below. And 44-year-old Christov Karemza, a former senior Vatican priest who was defrocked and fired the day after he came out, has blasted the Catholic Church in an open, openly furious letter to Pope Francis. In the letter, he claims the church makes the lives of millions of gay Catholics, quote, a hell, and says the clergy is full of homosexuals. He accuses the church of persecuting gay Catholics and causing immeasurable suffering to them and their families. The former priest claims that after a long and tormented period of discernment and prayer, he decided to publicly reject the violence of the church towards homosexual, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual, and intersexed people. He also says the Roman Catholic clergy is often, frequently, violently homophobic and implores all gay cardinals, gay bishops, and gay priests to have the courage to abandon this insensitive, unfair, and brutal church. He claims he can no longer be silent about the homophobic state of the church, the exclusion, the marginalization, and stigmatization of people like me, he said. The priest wrote that Pope Benedict's proclamation that homosexuality was, quote, a strong tendency ordered toward an intrinsic moral evil was in itself diabolical. LGBT Catholics say that they have a right to have a happy family life, even if the church doesn't want to bless it. Pope Francis has yet to respond to the letter. And a lesbian couple alleges in a lawsuit that a Honolulu police officer wrongfully arrested them for kissing in a grocery store while on vacation. Courtney Wilson and Taylor Guerrero say in a federal lawsuit filed this last Tuesday that they were harassed and arrested because the officer didn't like their public displays of affection in a Foodland store on Oahu's north side. Their attorney, Eric Seitz, said there was a scuffle while they were being arrested, and they were being charged with felony assault on an officer. Charges were eventually dismissed. He says the incident happened on their second day on vacation from Los Angeles. Seitz says Foodland apologized to the women. Honolulu police spokesman Michelle Yu says the department can't comment on pending litigation. And here locally, coming up on Thursday, December 3rd, Food for Thought will host Sonoma County's 14th annual Dining Out for Life event. There'll be over 40 area restaurants and cafes participating this year. Each will donate 25 or 50% of the day's sales to Food for Thought. The event supports Food for Thought's Food Bank, a nonprofit that serves 700 men, women, and children living with HIV, AIDS, and other critical illnesses here in Sonoma County. Food for Thought provides high-quality groceries, fresh produce, and nutrition services to those residents. HIV remains a significant challenge in our community as more people are affected by the epidemic than ever before. Dining Out for Life is an international event that's held in over 65 cities in the U.S. and Canada, and it raises $4 million annually for HIV/AIDS-related services. Dining Out is Food for Thought's biggest fundraiser of the year, and the group hopes to raise over $150,000 to support their work. This year's Dining Out for Life restaurant list is pretty spectacular. From eastern Sonoma County to the coast, from trendy to farm to table. You can learn more at fftfoodbank.org. And I'll look forward to seeing you at my favorite restaurant on December 3rd, Sweet Tea's. They're one of many great restaurants here in Sonoma County supporting this great cause. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, November 2nd at 7 p.m., the Parents of Transgender Youth Support Group will meet at Positive Images, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Tuesday, November 3rd at 10 a.m., the Napa LGBT Older Adults Discussion Group will gather at the Queen of the Valley Community Outreach Center, 3448 Villa Lane in Napa. For more information about LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And for all the latest LGBT news headlines, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for updates from Outbeat Radio News all week long. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Grayer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And hello, everybody. This is Sheridan, and I'm back here with my co-host and wife, Diana. And we are joined by Ramon Meras. And
hola.
We're so happy to have you here. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. So right before our news and events, I spoke a little bit about how you and I met at a party of a mutual friend and how you and I have restorative justice in common. So could you talk a little bit about what attracted you to restorative justice and what you do for restorative resources? And how is restorative resources different than restorative justice?
Oh, absolutely. I view restorative resources as my baby. That's the way I describe it. I am part of the Los 100 Latino Leaders in Sonoma County, and somebody from Restorative Resources came and spoke to our group. And one of the things that resonated to me was that there was not enough Hispanic and Latino counselors and community members at the circles. And so I believe there was a couple other Latino members and myself went to the meetings to learn more about it. And it made sense to me right away, having a new way to deal with kids that get in trouble. And instead of punishing and labeling and then just checking to see what's inside and in their hearts and their minds, it made so much more sense. So ever since I've been a true believer. It's definitely my baby, and I want to see it grow. And I can see, I've seen many children. I'm sure you have as well, seen many. And I call them children, even they're under 25, but and many young people who are maybe got in trouble because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, or because whatever reason that they to see their transformation is just something that it transforms you as well. Mm-hmm. And that's. I cannot say enough good things about it. Mm-hmm.
And so Restorative Resources is an organization in Santa Rosa, which they deliver the restorative justice paradigm. So if people don't know what restorative justice really is, could you define it for someone who doesn't really know what it is?
We can try. Restorative justice is a movement now. It's a national movement that is based on tribal practices and very ancient beliefs. They include Native American and South African or African and Maori as well, and as well as other cultures in the world. And their belief is that if a member of the community has gone astray, let's say, or gone in trouble, it's not the best interest to punish, but instead to check and see why and what is happening, and check back and forth so that member also understands the consequence of the actions. And that's what I love about it. When the kids, especially kids and young adults, come to the program, and then they're faced with what they did, and they have a chance to be responsible for the actions. It's such a moment, and you can see how things change, and it's much better than putting somebody in jail. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if did that answer.
Oh no, that's a beautiful way to describe it. Mm-hmm. And then you being a board member, Ramon, how is that different than my job, which is I'm a volunteer and I sit in circle and I see the transformation that you're speaking about every time I'm in circle with a youth who's made a mistake? You're a board member. So how are you different than what I do?
Well, I do miss the circles, and I hope after I finish school, I want to go back being a circle, because that's so rewarding and so wonderful to see, to be with the offenders and see how things change and happen. But the difference is being in the board. The board is a lot about fundraising and keeping things afloat, and also keeping in touch with the local authorities and politicians and all the stakeholders in the community. Organizing meetings where maybe we can having champions like Senator McGuire, who spoke in the last stakeholders meeting, and making sure that people really understand what we do. And it's really important to have people like you who actually have the one-on-one experience with the offenders come over and talk firsthand about the experience. Because that's where the story, that's where transformation really is happening. That's the real work. Mm-hmm. And the board does meet once a month. And, of course, like any board of directors, it's about the numbers and it's about the things that happen outside the office. But it's also important. We have to keep things moving. I think that restorative resources in Sonoma County is in a great spot right now. We're being called by other places as far away as even France and other parts of the United States, where they want to know how we're doing things, and they want to borrow our videos that we're producing, and they want to translate them to other languages.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's lovely.
Really powerful.
Yes. Wonderful.
Yes. Wow, that's powerful. I know how your involvement, Cher. I know how much you love it. I mean, to be a part of the board, do you have to have that prerequisite, or you have to have that starting place of being in the circle first?
I don't think so. I don't think that every board member has had the privilege to be in the circles.
Yeah.
That's such a magic thing experience. But we do have people who have community experience, and they have been on many other boards, and especially again, it's the fundraising is that's the part that restorative resources does so much with so little, and year to year it's always being a nonprofit, it's always a little bit of a challenge to plan and know where the funds are going to come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, money is the issue all around, right?
Yes.
So Ramon, you've mentioned something about school, that when you go back to school, we heard you a little bit there. So what's you going back to school for? What? More activism work?
It's been such an amazing year for myself and my partner. After getting involved first with the Human Rights Commission and then Restorative Resources, my focus shift. Being a concierge has been a wonderful experience, but all of a sudden working with wealthy people coming to Sonoma County wasn't as rewarding as working with the community and working with people who need help here in our neighborhood.
Well, could you back up?
Yes.
Can I interrupt you? What are you talking about?
Absolutely.
What do you mean about wealthy people?
Well, you know, my career is being a concierge. I love Sonoma County.
Okay.
And I have worked, even though I went to Sonoma State for something different, my whole life I've worked in hotels and service. And I've been very blessed. Being a concierge, I worked at the Hyatt for 10 years. And after that, I worked at Mayakama, which is a very expensive and very, it's an amazing, it's a magical place, but it's very, it's reserved.
What was the name of that again?
Mayakama Resort. Oh. And most people don't know that it exists here in Santa Rosa. And it is really absolutely stunning and beautiful. It's a golf course. And unlike no other, it's next to Safari West and it's east of the 101 if you go in Shiloh on Windsor, but still Santa Rosa. And it's just a group of homes and a golf course and a cave and a restaurant and for people that come from all over the world to experience our beautiful county. Mm. And after working there, I also worked for a Coppola family. I worked for Francis for Coppola Winery. And then I being a concierge on my own, and I have worked for the last 5 years for Beautiful Places, which is a luxury villa rental vacation company. And people sometimes they don't want to stay at a hotel, maybe because privacy issues or for many other reasons. So instead, they rent a beautiful villa, and as a concierge, I will help them get a chef to whatever needs they might need, helicopters, etc.
Oh my gosh!
So it's been a wonderful career, and wow. I'm very blessed. I was really touched last year. I received the Spirit of Sonoma Award from the Lodging Association because I love Sonoma County, and being with somebody who'd be here the first time is just such an amazing opportunity to get them excited, to send them to the Redwood Forest or to that special winery or restaurant or maybe creamery where they can pet a cow that produced the milk that made the cheese that they're going to eat. And so it's a fun job. But as soon as I started getting involved with all these other organizations, then things changed. And mm-hmm. so that's why I wanted to change careers. And I'm in the middle of changing a career right now. Mm-hmm. I want to work with my community. I want to make it better in any way I can. So I'm back at Sonoma State, and I'm studying in the urban planning division. I'm also doing an internship with the city of Vallejo, helping with them with updating the general plan, specifically the healthy communities component. And I'm hoping that I can learn that and then bring that back here to Sonoma County. And next time that the general plan has to be updated, then we can work on having a healthier Sonoma County.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's beautiful. Look at you. You give up the riches for the poor folks, huh?
It has been really interesting.
I mean, where did that come from? I mean, your childhood, how do you make the connection? I'm just curious.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I came from Mexico and grew up in Orange County. Mm. And my first job in high school was at the Marriott in Newport Beach at the Fashion Island, which is a very, very trendy area and a very expensive hotel or area for hotels. And so I guess I just stuck to service and doing the hospitality and something. I like to make people happy, so it was something that came natural. And doing banquets and then working at the front desk. And I worked at many hotels in the county. And one thing led to another. Being a concierge is the ultimate way that you can help somebody, and you're the confidant, you're their friend, you're their go-to person, and you never know. I have so much respect for all my concierge colleagues and the people that still have a desk here in Sonoma County and in the Bay Area, because it's such a personal touch and relationship you create with your clients. You never know. People might come over just for vacation, but they might have an emergency or something or worse. And then you have to be there for them. Most people come here to have a good time and to have good wine, and to have some good food. So that's what Luxury Park comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So How's it been for you here? And I mean, sounds like it's been wonderful as a Latino gay man, you know, here in Sonoma County and in your life. It just seems, what, can you share something about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's been, I moved here in 93. So I've seen Sonoma County change different times from Greenville to, Santa Rosa, when we used to have a local gay bar, that was where everybody used to meet, and Santa Rosa Inn. And that has been a lot of changes in Sonoma County. I think that we have a county that's very open and very welcoming. But at the same time, because it's so welcoming and so open, there is no need for us to have a place to get, or hasn't been until now, a place for people to gather and to really form a community and create that knit, you know, close-knit relationships. Mm-hmm. But there, I think there's a big change between the generations that are right now coming out and mm-hmm. when I came out. Mm-hmm. When I came out, I came out with a bang. I'd never been afraid to say.
Wait, with a bang?
Yes, I told everybody, "Hey, I'm gay."
Well, how old were you when you did that? When you came out?
I probably started realizing that I was gay around 18. I was living in Orange County with my uncle, and I wanted to move away, so I basically ran away from home. I went to Hollywood. I lived in Hollywood for a little while. And then I met my first boyfriend, and he broke my heart. So I moved to Iowa because I didn't want to be gay anymore.
Oh, my gosh. What a stretch, huh?
But let me tell you, I was there for 6 months. I was there from January to June. I saw my first tornado, and I was out of there. I was thinking, give me an earthquake any day. I don't want to see one of these again. And the thing is that I realized what really happened is I realized that no matter where I went, I was going to be who I was going to be. Mm-hmm. And by the time I was probably 19, and I came back and I told my whole family. And the funny thing is that everybody knew. I remember telling my mom, I went back to Mexico and we sat in a park and a bench. And I told her, I want to tell you something really important. And I said, well, I'm gay. And she looked at me, she took my hand. And then she said, oh, I'm not surprised. I'm not something that I didn't know. But then she looked at me and she said, well, I don't quite understand it. I'm not sure if I like it, but you're my son, and I love you no matter what. So I was really lucky from the beginning, very, very lucky, and that really has been the story since.
All your siblings and
yes, my brothers, my sister, they're very accepting, and they love my partner. We went in January. We went to Chihuahua, and my nieces and nephews, they flocked to him. They really wanted to get to know him. It was the first time that he was visiting. So maybe 6 months later, we went to Mexico City to visit other family, and again, everybody just fell in love with him, and I must put him in the side and. Which I love, and I feel that my family has been very, very quick to embrace us both. Mm. Yes,
that's wonderful. I was just wondering, the news that Greg produced was, what's going on in Syria with gay men is so horrific, and I'm wondering, yes. When you go to Mexico with your partner, is it something where you feel safe? To be gay there?
Yes. I'm from Chihuahua, and it is a different culture. And Chihuahua is not like Mexico City or Puerto Vallarta, which both we have been to, and it's been very safe because they have a zone that is a tolerance zone, if you will. But it's really, I think that the Mexican culture, everybody has a place, and even before the colonial times, I think that gay LGBT culture had a spot and had a place in society, and even in the South, where my grandfather's from, the mushas, the transgender people, they are special, and they have a place in their parties and their celebrations, and they have a role in society where they do certain things, and they're considered almost like, well, I won't say medicine men, but maybe, or medicine women, but more like mm-hmm. Somebody who you can depend on to do different things because they have certain almost powers, if you will. Mm. But it's been, it depends in Mexico where you are, mm-hmm. But it's, we have been lucky. We have, wherever we have been, it's been, never been any trouble. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we've been to Mexico City, and we stay at the Zona Rosa, and then the gay sound right there is like West Hollywood here, so it's not, mm-hmm. not nothing. I think that there's more danger to go into a place and get pickpocketed or something like that than anything mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know, but that's true what you say. You know, there's different parts of Mexico, just like here in America. There's yes. more tolerant parts, and there's parts that, you know, aren't safe to
indeed.
Be gay still.
Did I hear you say, Ramon, that there's a tolerance song?
So tolerance song, like the Zona Rosa, being sown. Oh. It's maybe about 3 or 4 blocks.
Oh.
That is LGBT centric.
Oh, okay,
it's
okay.
Really the hotels, the restaurants, everything is really, it's very, no, just safe. It's very, you feel at home and you feel accepted. And especially again, the new generations, I think that they're having more acceptance. I'm very proud to think that in Mexico, they have many places where even before in the United States was legalized for same-sex marriage, they were doing it already. So in some ways, maybe they were not publicized, but they were moving in the right direction.
Wow, that's yeah. interesting, because mm-hmm. Mexico, I mean, mm-hmm. is more of like a Catholic country, and we just heard on the news again about yes. a priest who's been, how do you call that, defrocked, or yes, and because he's came out as gay. So it's wonderful to hear that Mexico was doing gay weddings before America.
Yes,
or some
yes.
states.
I think
America.
There's only 2 or 3 states that's not been legalized, but they started before we started here.
Wow.
Yes.
Neat. Yeah. Well, we've kind of sort of mentioned your partner, and I was wondering if you might mention his name, and
absolutely.
Then I know you brought some music tonight, and you could maybe segue into
sure.
the music you brought.
Absolutely.
Or at least the singer you brought.
So, his name is Tara. He's wonderful. He's very good looking. I'm really lucky. I always make fun. I say that I'm so lucky to have a chubby chaser after me, because, you know, I'm chubby, and he's just very trim, beautiful inside and out. And he's a nurse, and he's a wonderful nurse. And he gave up his life in LA to come and be here with me. So I just feel so, so lucky again to have somebody care for me, and when he looks at me, it just makes me feel, you know, smart and good looking, and it's been hard for him, but you know, just to have that, it just makes things, you know, so much better. Tara is he's an urban soul. He loves art and music and dancing. And here in Sonoma County, well, we're a little more rural. We're a little more quiet. But I think he misses sometimes some of that excitement of the city. But on the other hand, he loves music. And I think I've been to more concerts in the, what's now, I think this November is going to be 2 years. Yeah. Oh, wow. It's coming up.
November what?
It's actually December. It's December. This November, we started talking more seriously. In December of the year before last, we met. He came from LA, and we had a date in San Francisco. And I remember I had a horrible cold, and I was thinking, oh, no, he's going to think I'm making it up or something. So I didn't want to cancel. And so we went to listen to a Mel Arieu.
Say that one more time?
We went to listen to Amel Larue, which I had never heard of her.
Amel Larue.
Larue, thank
Larue.
You. Yes,
okay.
I'm saying it wrong, but...
No. I've never heard of her until I met you. So
yes.
I didn't know how to say it. I just needed to hear it slowly.
Yes.
I wasn't
yes.
correcting you.
No. But that's the right pronunciation. And we went, and even though I had a cold, I think we had a wonderful time. And that's been the beginning of all the introduction of wonderful music. And the music is so important for Tara that you know, I've been, even though I don't always, you know, buy the CDs, but I've just been enriching my life in that sense.
Well, thank you so much for bringing, how do you say her name yet?
Amel.
Thank you for bringing Amel to our attention, and we're going to play a song called Make Me Whole.
Oh, great.
Uh-huh. In your honor, you and Tara's honor.
Oh.
And we'll be back to find out more about Ramon and Tara's relationship.
Darling, I want you to listen. I stayed up all night so I can get this thing right. And I don't think there's anything missing. 'Cause a person like you made it easy to do. I waited for so long to sing to you this song. 'Cause your eyes are the windows to heaven. Your smile could heal a million souls. Makes me whole. You're the only other half that makes me whole. I think the angels are your brothers, yeah. They told you about me, said you're just what she needs, and I find myself thinking you're mine. For giving birth to a saint, my spirit flies when I say your name. If there's one thing that's true, it's that I was born to love you. In your eyes are the windows to heaven. A smile could heal a million souls. Your love completes my existence. You're the other half that makes me whole. You're the only other half that makes me whole. Through
Oh my gosh. So beautiful. Amel LaRue.
Silky voice.
And that was called Make Me Whole. I think I'm a fan. Thank you for bringing that.
We shall go to the next concert.
Yeah, we should. Let us know when you're going. So we're, if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Sheridan and Diana, and I'm Sheridan, and next to me is Diana, and we're in studio with our guest, Ramon Meras, and he's been talking a little bit about what makes him tick, urban planning, going back to school, Sonoma State, restorative justice, Human Rights Commission, and then we kind of touched a little bit on your relationship with your partner, Tara.
Yes.
So we had some questions about that and your lives together. So
I know it's almost 2 years coming up.
Yes.
And so we want to know, back up a little bit. So how did it all start?
Well, how does anything start nowadays? I think it was an app.
An app? An app?
It was Growler.
Oh, we've heard about Growler from our buddy Greg.
Yes. And
he just gave us a little education, yes. That's all.
Yes. Just a little bit, because we didn't know.
It was interesting. You know, he was in L.A., and I was in Santa Rosa, and we started talking, and it was really nice and respectful, and it was a very good start. And, you know, maybe it was sometime probably in the summer of 13, I'm going to say, somewhere around there. And he, if he's listening, he's probably correcting me right now. But it was, we talked a couple of times, and then we finally said, well, we should meet. And Amel LaRue was going to be playing in San Francisco, so he asked me if I will go, you know, to the concert. And I said, yes. I said, that sounds great. It was exciting. It was a cold night, like tonight. But San Francisco is San Francisco. And we, even with the cold, I had a bad cold, but we still had a wonderful, you know, concert. Then after that, I was very excited because I was going to be working Sundance Festival that year. So I basically told him I can't talk to you until after the festival. So we had to wait. And sometime in the early, there was that, so that was 13 then. I'm sorry, so I was, must have been talking about 12. So in 13, we started talking again. And he's a tribal nurse, so he was at the time a tribal nurse, so he will go different parts of the country for different months of time. And I was so lucky that he was placed in Palo Alto. He was working at a hospital there for a few months, and that made it feasible. It was maybe 2-hour drive from here. So to me, it was like a vacation to go visit. And from the beginning, we were so different from one another. He's African-American and Mexican, so there was a lot of cultural things that were similar but not quite the same.
Like what? Give us a couple.
Yes, absolutely. Example. Well, we like spicier food. We like they like different. We like more diversity in our music and our food and our movies, and that really you can understand when you come from a minority, even if it's not the same as you. That you know, there are rules, even if you don't know them. The things that you do in your family. And it was great to explore one another, and he will make a couple dishes for me, and I don't think I cooked for him until he moved here. But but yeah, it was really it was about having a lust for life, you know, and so there's some things that he's passionate about, and that was very contagious, mm-hmm. Being in Palo Alto was very easy to go out and walk in the street and finding things that we could do together. Or we could take the train or the bar to San Francisco. And although I remember, I think the first first date after the concert, I think we went to San Francisco, and it was not what we expected. Things were changed. You know, we went to it was supposed to be a gay bar, and it was full of people from like Google.com, and they were playing. It was supposed to be a disco night, but it wasn't. It was Donna Summer, but it was not the songs we knew. It was like the B side songs, and it was all straight people. So we were like, oh, we felt that we're in a you know, alternate reality. But then we left, and then we went somewhere else, and we found a spot that was what we were looking for. So, but definitely, it's been, I think, harder for him moving over here than anything else, because he's so different than in, you know, in LA. There's more of a diversity in the street than it is in Sonoma County. And although he's made friends in here, I think that there is, it's not the same. It's not the same as when you live in a big city and you come to somewhere, Sonoma County, when there's not a big multicultural landscape. And but the thing is that because we have one another, and we understand that, and we understand each other, I think that that's really helped. And he's always, we get, goes to work and comes home and let's find something to do, you know. And he's always making sure that we do something, that we keep spending time together and get out of the apartment and find something exciting and that we can grow together with. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just going around the block in the cutting town and get a cup of coffee or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But Tara doesn't sound like the kind of guy to just sit around home.
Huh? Oh, no.
That's more you, huh, Ramon?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so tell us more of the story of you coming together.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, after we met online, and then we had our first date, and then after that, I think that because he moved to Palo Alto, and that was such a convenient place then now to start dating slowly, I think that really helped. I will travel for the weekend, and at that time I was not working on the weekends, so he worked on the weekdays, and then we just explore. It was new to both of us, to that area, and
nice.
Yeah, he will go to LA as well, back and forth, but and then sometimes we'll go to LA together, I think a couple times, and it just happened. Like, sometimes that happens, you know. We got to that point where we had to decide in either I was going to move to LA or he was going to move here. Mm-hmm. But we didn't want to do long distance anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm really lucky that he understood that I had a lot of things going on over here. And he gave up everything. He gave up his job over there. And he still has his friends, but he doesn't see him as often. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I really feel that he did a big sacrifice to be here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's getting the short end of the stick right here, but I don't know if things would have gone the way, like going back to school, if he wasn't here. That mm-hmm. that was a decision we made together. So going back to the story, I guess I ramble a little. Moving over here, it's been finding an apartment together and a community, and at the same time working. It was difficult for him to also, because of the job. Being a nurse, it's you will think that there's a lot of jobs out there, but they're not. Especially you have a specialty. And so he worked at San Francisco, he worked at Napa, and finally now he's at Kaiser.
Where what's his specialty?
He does interventional radiology. So people that are going to get same-day procedure, where they're going to go home the same day, they come with him and he gets the x-rays, get them prep and ready. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very specific line of work. Mm-hmm. And so I think that people that have that job, they must not let it go, and that's why it's hard to you know, move into the position. But I think that the things are looking better now, and I'm so happy that he stuck for the last year and a half and in between, and now things are looking better.
Wonderful. Yes,
but we have a doggy that I'm so happy that they like each other because it's my baby too. And we have a routine, and we have our friends, but he lets me get out there and be at the Human Rights Commission meetings and being at restorative resources meetings. And sometimes he'll come over and, you know, he'll sit in the back, and I know that he's got my back. And when I'm sitting there and stomping and, you know, asking for the money or asking for the whatever it is that we need, he's very supportive. He's very supportive. Wow, it's been a wonderful journey.
That's wonderful. I know he's, hopefully he's listening, right?
I'll find out when I get home. I'll see his face.
So December is your anniversary? 2 years?
Yes, yes. Well, the summer is when we moved together. So this past September will be a year that we live together. But we talked about that. When do we decide that mm-hmm. we became it was such a natural progression. It just happened that it's hard to tell. This is the day. This is the moment. Mm-hmm. But we have, I like what we have right now because we have different anniversaries. Anniversary that we met, mm-hmm. The anniversary of the first concert, and then maybe a first trip, and then, and of course, going up to the point that anniversary of living together. And,
sounds like you're still honeymooning, are you? I mean, it's still fresh and new, pretty much a year in the apartment, right?
Yes.
Living together, I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you think you're still honeymooning? What?
Well, I think that this still, I hope that we're still going to have a lot of opportunities to honeymoon again and again in different ways and finding new ways in our relationship. And that's one thing that as we change careers and life and maybe even places where we live, you know, I can see that. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I really appreciate and it made me feel so secure, he's told me that I'm his best friend. So that's really
important. Have you noticed anything in the community around interracial relationship or any issues around that? Finding an apartment together, anything like that?
Yeah, finding an apartment, I don't think was a problem, but I would like to see more and more community activities where you see other couples and then where, you know, they have the same challenges and opportunities and that you can share and more than anything else because of him. I want him to feel welcome in this community, which I've been part of for so long. And we do have friends of different backgrounds. And I think that's something that will be happening soon. We need to start having an LGBT center and something that will be hopefully organized by the county and have, you know, more centers where it will be for us, you know, by us. Mm-hmm. And that will probably be good, not just for Tara, but for young people that are coming out nowadays that need to find a place where they belong. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a need. That's what you're asking. I think there's a need for that. And that's one thing that we're working at the Human Rights Commission. I think that my colleague Kevin was here talking about the survey that we just took out, and we got about 600 and something responses. In part, thank you because he was here. I think that spiked the number of responses. Okay. And one of the directions we're trying to go to, we want to find out if there's a need for a center, just like there's a teen center and there's a senior center. There's something that would be LGBT oriented for people to feel safe to go on and talk and find. Like all the other munchkins, you know, like and the Wizard of Oz.
Did you get any results from the survey that say that, yeah, there's a need?
We did. We're tabulating all the answers right now. We're looking, we're looking into the responses. And we're hoping that it's just the first step. We want to continue that conversation, but I know that there's a need, and this is just the beginning. Maybe the next step will be to have a specific task force within the Human Rights Commission, and then maybe in the future will be a commission, LGBT commission in the county. And that, those will be the steps to get to have a center, a LGBT center in the county, mm-hmm. or more than one. It'd be good to have one in every town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's important to have a center. I would love that.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about that because we haven't really talked about it with any of our guests. And I know that you mentioned, Ramon, at the beginning of the interview that because it's so much freer here to come out, that maybe a center, you know, people don't meet at bars anymore. And, you know, the internet is where a lot of people meet now. And so maybe some people would say, well, we don't really need a center. We have the internet. We can meet on the internet. And I think you're bringing up a really great point that human-to-human connection is something you cannot get on the internet, you know, when you are in the same room with someone. Mm-hmm. And for people to come when they're to feel safe, or people who are like Tara or Diana, you know, African-American, who want to find other gay African-American people, or lesbian or bi or transgender, and all of a sudden now you have a place where people can meet and talk about issues of interracial marriage or, you know, racism or any of those things.
Diversity, issues, concerns. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I think as the county grows, then the need is there, but the need's going to get bigger, and then there's going to have to be a response to it. Mm-hmm. We do have some things. We have some festivals that happen, and mm-hmm. parties, and we have Pride. But I think that as, you know, in the next few years, places like Santa Rosa will grow, and they will need to have something for the community. But today, we need something today for the people that are coming out. And then, again, going back to diversity, Sonoma County is just poised to become more diverse because it's growing. People coming to study, people coming into work, and it's just good to just have a place. But it has to come from us. We have to get organized, and people have to not stay at home, but they say we want to have a place to gather and use it. So that's the important part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's neat that you're on the Human Rights Commission and you have access to the survey and you can make real change in that area as well as restorative justice and urban planning. Wow. You're a busy guy.
And. You seem like the type, Ramon, that you're just going to put your hands in the stuff, things, important things.
Well, yes, this, I think it's so important to be also involved with the community. And this goes to all my LGBT brothers and sisters in the county. There's so many opportunities to be involved civically. Mm. And so many boards and so many committees, whether it's the county or the city, all you have to do is go talk to your council member or your supervisor and say, I'm here and this is my interest. I'm interested in parks. I'm interested in the community. I'm interested in, you know, where the money's going to, you know, from our taxes. You'll be surprised. And that's another way to be visible and to show that we're part of the community. There's so many of us and here, and it's just so great to be part of the tapestry that we have in here. And that's one thing that I'm passionate to tell my friends and family. Get involved.
Get involved.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we're kind of at the end of the show where we always ask our guests for not necessarily advice, but what do you want to tell the world? What do you want people to know? How can you put your imprint on the world? And we give you a couple minutes to...
Other than get involved. Yeah. Get involved.
That's absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I think that if I could have a magic wand and do something with everybody in the world, I would tell people, be open to one another. You know, just be... Accept one another and then... that just makes life so much better. And to even if you have not the same view with the same background, it's just so much easier to see the world from point of view of the things that you're connected and you're similar than to focus on what you're different. So you can focus on the things that you're similar with somebody else, and you know, love your fellow human beings. They're your species, you know.
Oh, yes, really great words. We want to thank you so much for coming tonight
and me.
Giving us your time and making the world a better place.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope I can come back with Tara next time.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, we want to talk to Tara.
We would love to talk to Tara. Hopefully, Tara will listen to the show and want to come back.
Good.
So thank you very much. So to all our listeners out there, we want you to remember that just like Ramon, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can help our community be visible and be seen and embraced as vibrant, proud, and courageous. And we'll be back next month. Until then, good night.
So many answers, I don't know.
There are so many answers.
Realize that to question is how we grow.
To question is to grow.
So I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop. So do it today, yeah. 'Cause I can see you.
Join us next weekend at Outwatch, Sonoma County's LGBTQ Film Festival, happening at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts, 282 High Street in Sebastopol. The festival starts on Friday night with a VIP party at 6 p.m., and then 9 different films follow through Sunday afternoon. The Outbeat Radio team will be there, so be sure to stop by and meet us in person. You can learn more at outwatchfilmfest.org. Tune in next Sunday night to Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan. That's at 8 p.m. and only here on KRCB Radio 91. Online all the time at krcb.org. It's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. Open Space District is next.
So what?